You're listening to DraftKings Network.
In the first segment, we talk about so much. We talk about the two derbies that happened over in England. North London Derby, that worked out for me. The Merseyside Derby, we'll talk about it when we get there. We also talked about how awesome it is that they hired a French DJ to host the Women's Ballon d'Or
Nothing
segment.
Nothing could have gone wrong.
No, it's perfect. Everybody should know how to twerk. What a dumbass. He's an idiot. We talk about that. We also talk about the biggest kept secret in the history of sports. I can't believe this. Greg Berhalter is the coach. We talk about it.
I have just collapsed to the ground. To let you know about the second segment. In the second segment, we are joined by John Strong and Stu Holden, who will be calling the MLS Cup final this weekend, Saturday, 8 p.m. on Fox Television.
So dope.
All this and more today on the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Oh, that's right.
Almost died.
The energy is here.
Yeah, my voice isn't, but my energy. Oh, boy, it's here.
Alexis is back from L.A. The MLS Cup Finals coming up this weekend. We're
go
ready
to L.A. I land. I go to Atlanta. I'm going to come back and land. This is a lot, everybody.
We're just traveling everywhere. Welcome to the show, everyone. Hello. Welcome to the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians at the top of Madison Square Garden, right here at the Hackensack Meridian Health Stage 17.
Whether we like it or not.
And we are here. We happen to be the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to.
Well, I mean, you know, we've worked diligently at being it, so we wouldn't just happen to be it.
That's right.
And but if you happen to, this is the first time you're listening, one, you're like, whoa, are they above Madison Square Garden? Yeah, we are. And two, are they the funniest soccer podcast? You're damn right we are. But that's not the only thing.
Also, when you listen to podcasts, why you ask so many damn questions?
I know, right? Damn, can you even hear us over the internal monologue you got going on in your brain? And if you didn't know, you better know. You do now, ladies and gentlemen. We're not just the funniest soccer podcast. We're the damn gulliest soccer podcast.
That is right.
Sprat.
Sprat. Sprat. Cat. Okay, there's going to be a lot of that this
cat,
episode.
Cat, dog, dog. We're just pointing at stuff. That's all that is, baby.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Shout out immediately to a couple scarves repping on the table today. We got Terminus Legion. Atlanta's one of the Atlanta supporters group.
Are they the official? Are they one of the?
No, there's three, I think, official ones. And to my knowledge, is Terminus Legion, Footy Mob, and Resurgence. Yeah, so those three. I think I could be leaving somebody out. Don't get offended, Atlanta United.
They all
fans.
Sound like startups, except Footy Mob.
Footy Mob could be an app. I don't know.
Yeah, Footy Mob could be an app. Hey, you know what? It's like a group of people want to play soccer.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And also shout out to Timbers Army. We got a scarf here repping. So the two representatives of this year's Major League Soccer Cup.
That's right. And you should know, whenever we bring up TNA on this podcast, we mean Timbers Army. We're not disrespectful. You know what I mean?
Sure. You don't say it's not Timbers and Army.
So. Well, I needed the joke to work. So I meant the letters T and A.
Okay.
There you go. See, it worked out. Kinda, in the end. Right now, the person who was asking all those questions is thinking, are they the funniest?
They might be the most confused soccer podcast.
Oh, that we certainly are. I think without a fact, we don't bring any facts.
So, look,
we come here without a fact.
So, we have a lot to talk about this episode because there's a lot to look forward to. Obviously, this weekend, we don't even know exactly what the agenda is necessarily, but we will be putting that out. Maybe we'll send an email, maybe put it out on Twitter as well when we arrive in Atlanta, because I mean we do expect the red carpet treatment.
What, like the Beatles landing in that Pan Am flight?
Okay, I want a bunch of like tweens screaming at the airport.
And I don't care if you have to pay them. Okay.
Okay. I'll start up like some whatever the Trump Republican conspiracy of like hiring crowds or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. We'll call George Soros.
We'll call George Soros.
He knows how to put a crowd together. Hit that join up on Craigslist.
All right. We would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
When we arrive in Atlanta. So there's a lot to look forward to over there. Now,
you know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
Did you hear this? Terminus Legion. Well, not Terminus Legion.
Terminus and Legion.
Terminus TNL. And Legion. TNL. You know exactly what we're talking about. I was going to say it, and I didn't. The Atlanta supporters have invited Timber's Army to tailgate with them at the Gulch.
Okay,
this is going to be a unified tailgate. And may we start by saying...
Bravo, guys.
Absolutely amazing. Or this is what American soccer is about.
Or this can be one of those, you know, Trojan horse situations.
It could be.
A little bit of a trap.
Yeah. But everyone from Timber's Army is going to be a little too high off the edibles they brought to the plane with them to realize it.
I just sneak them through.
Yeah, I know. They look like gummy bears, man.
So that is going to be cool. And we will make sure to spend some time out in the Gulch. Yeah. I think it's like it might be a 12-hour tailgate.
It could be. Well, it's supposed to rain.
Like, that's going to stop anybody.
This is, people are going to be soaked. People are going to be soaked at this game.
So, look, a lot to discuss.
And there's so much.
So much. But let's start in that, like, Cooligans tradition that I think I started this year of...
reading the reviews.
Reading some reviews on iTunes.
Some great reviews.
Thank you so much to the people who do leave reviews. We're on that quest for 400, and we're at 315. So feel free to leave a review on iTunes. It's incredibly helpful and helps more people hear about the show.
And also, it lets people know what the show is about.
And also,
not our reviews in particular. That's how it's supposed to be. Our reviews seem to pick sides on the straw gate, you know, things like that. But that's what we want.
Yeah, and there's also, I feel like there's a little bit of, like, we have to make a stronger effort, especially as the season is winding down, to get more people. Because what tends to happen is once the season is over for, like, in the playoffs for certain teams, some people are like, oh, well, I'll wait till 2019 to start listening to the Cooligans again.
What?
And
no.
This isn't no standard soccer podcast.
Is this what you do to your family?
Really? You're going to insult us that way?
Yeah. After your wife's birthday, you're like, well, I did that. I'm good for a couple months.
You might as well
take the day off.
You might as well spit on our TNA and TNL scars. Yeah,
come over here and spit right on my TNA. I dare you. In fact, someone requested.
Okay, I know some people are into that. Yeah, but it's,
that's what they're... I'm not judging them. Maybe you shouldn't either.
But also, it can also come off as disrespectful.
Yeah.
So this is why the reviews are important, to keep people hype about the show. So here's a review that... I mean, this... Again, we mentioned this last week. They're becoming more and more difficult to pick from. But do you have one that you want to read first?
I can't pull it up on my phone.
Okay, cool.
And I brought the other thing we're going to use today, so I couldn't bring my laptop.
Okay. So I'll read this one. This was our most recent one, but it did make me laugh a lot. And I look, these jokes, for at least for me, they never get old. So here goes. The subject says, the Cooligans are an integral or integral, who knows, part of my morning commute. And this is by All Star Burrito. Okay.
Very nice.
All right.
Like, which we know, you don't know how to eat one.
We know that.
Yes. There's infinite proof.
You
on
claim
this
that. I mean, all there is conjecture and speculation. There's nothing
wrong. Do not make me Google conjecture. Okay?
So it goes, have fun reading that one out loud, Alexis.
integral
or integral. So all jokes aside, I'm so glad I started listening to this podcast. Not only does it crack me up every episode, but it's made my passion for soccer, specifically MLS, grow exponentially. All right. That's a very sweet thing to say. And he goes, thank you for saving me from listening to those hacks and blazers ever again.
Out of the park. Thank you.
That is the way to our hearts.
Yeah.
You know how to get there. So did you find one yet or no?
I like this one. This is from November. Wait, hold on. This is from November 16th. I'm not sure if we read this one. If it is, we're not going to edit it out. We're just going to keep it right in here.
Which one?
It's by Speedy 18.
No, we did not read this.
We did not read this. This is, I'm very happy about. Popote. That's the title. 5 stars. Popote. And then she goes on to say, I only got one thing to say. Popote. If anyone reading this review wants to know what the hell I'm talking about, listen to these guys. You won't regret it. P.S. Oh, yeah. They also talk about football. fire emoji. Brown thumbs up emoji. 3 soccer ball emojis. I mean, that's right. That's literally who we are and what we do.
It is Latino excellence there, that review. Thank you so much, Speedy 18. I'm gonna guess who that is. I think I know who that might be. And I'm going to guess it's Lalo, NYCFC fan of Third Rail. Do you met Lalo?
Yeah, of course, I met Lalo. He's the guy that says straw.
Because I think I feel like I've seen his Twitter name it says Speedy in it, and I'm just putting two and two together. And yeah, like that's right. I'm also a soccer detective.
Like, we're not just the gulliest. We're also the most combed through evidence podcast.
Okay. Let me go through my files.
Meanwhile, we can't figure out stuff that's right in front of us. But this, you're figuring out who's leaving reviews.
That's right. I got a whole dossier on every person who follows us on Twitter. Yeah. So thank you so much.
I got a whole DOS effects on everyone else.
All right. Definitely. There's probably 80% of the audience that does not know what you're talking
about. Six people are like, yo, what did he say? Help me learn English. Thank you, Das FX.
Okay. Well, now we understand why
I can't do it correctly. Why me no speaks right.
So let's get to some soccer.
Let's do it.
And there's we have to start with the biggest news, obviously, in U.S. soccer. The United States of America men's national team
has finally
they've made a decision.
It took longer than my wife deciding where to eat. Ladies and gentlemen,
okay,
this is gonna shock everyone. Bug your seatbelts. No one heard this name before. Greg Berhalter has been chosen to lead the men's national team only through the end of the 2022 World Cup.
I think your wife can choose the coach sooner than that.
She's like, I don't know, whoever you want to coach. And then I was like, all right, how about Tata Martino? No, not that one.
I'm not in the mood for Argentina right now.
Oh, God. Another asado? I don't even like Monte. Okay, all right.
Okay.
So, how about Scoletto? No, God, I told you. None of that. How about Osorio? Mexican again?
Well, not.
You said anywhere.
How about somebody whose name doesn't start in O?
Yeah. Now I got to go find.
So Greg Berhalter officially announced, and as we're recording this, I think the press conference, I was just watching it a couple hours ago. He was officially announced in New York. So Greg Berhalter is maybe blocks away from us. I don't know. I don't know where he is, but I'm on the lookout.
I mean, if you could figure out who's leaving reviews, you could find this man.
I'm going to find Berhalter. All right. And I'll find him faster than it took Ernie Stewart to find him and give him the damn job.
Imagine 13 months and 28 days later you find him and we're like, still faster?
Right. All right. Hire me as the GM because I provide results.
Yes. We find the guy. He might not be the right guy, but we find the guy.
So, Greg, all right. It's official. We're here.
By the way, so there's all these reports now coming out. More information is coming out. It looks like the only reason they presented it now is because it was starting to leak to the press. Were they going to wait for?
Leak? What leak?
I mean, well, you know, people were like, soon, this week, next week, blah, blah, blah. Soon a decision will be made to you know, call Greg Berhalter. What were they waiting for? Why did it? What? People have been talking about this for months.
I was watching the press conference, and we were asking that question all the time because, like, we were like, you especially, Ernie Stewart, what are you doing?
What is Ernie Stewart doing?
The relentless tweets.
No one answered.
No one. But that's the thing. So based on the press conference and him saying, like, kind of explaining what the search process was, I was just surprised there was a search process at all, right? Because none of this was made public. I don't understand what was the benefit of hiding it from everyone.
I think it makes sense to be like, keep it in house, don't blah, blah, blah. But you're right. There's no benefit to not letting people know, hey, we're interviewing some folks. Here's my process. We're going to interview. We're going to take deep consideration of all, blah, blah. They said something like 300 names were considered.
No, what? I don't think it was. I remember, I think it was 33.
Did I just throw a zero on that?
Like, what?
You mean Patrick Ewing? Was he? We're above Madison Square Garden.
I mean, it was only soccer coaches, not of other sports, yeah. Alexis. Oh, yeah.
Well, you got Pat Riley out here? So, Tyronn Lue ain't got no job. Let's get him. Even if it's 30.
Yes.
Half the people that was leaked earlier that said they were part of the consideration said they weren't interviewed.
So
how were they considered?
So that's what it was. Ernie was vague about what the process was.
They wrote their name on the wall.
Well, he did say a couple of things. He said was that there was a couple necessary requirements for the men's national team head coach.
No,
right?
Speaking English.
Well, he didn't. That's the thing. He didn't say what the requirements were.
Of course not.
But we have to, like, sort of piece it together.
So what you're saying is American soccer is now heading into another era of even less transparency?
I don't know about that. I mean, he did say something.
Let's look at the evidence. Do you know anything?
He wasn't just silent up there. He wasn't being like, no comment. What do you?
He just stares at the camera.
What's the style of you know the U.S. men's national team? No comment. Stop asking. Get this guy out of here.
You're rude. You know that? You're real rude.
What is it, Jim Acosta? Get him out of here.
You're banned. Next. Someone's like, you look great in this shirt. Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Not bad. Move up to the front.
How dare you disrespect the press secretary that way?
Oh, we're gonna get another question from the failing athletic. Mr. Tenorio.
Yes. Look, Tenorio asked a good question. So did Alexi Lala. There were a couple of people kind of putting Berhalter and Ernie Stewart's feet to the fire and being like, yo, what? Like, Alexi Lala even was specific. Like, what is the style you're going to play? And don't give me some sports talk, whatever. Yeah. Be like, can you go in complete detail of what you want from the team and how you want the team to play? And at least Greg Berhalter did some of that. And that was...
What did he say? Because I didn't see this.
He was specific. I'm like trying to remember. He kind of suggested that the team will be more attacking. Will play basically like Columbus does. And have a... He said low to mid block, which I don't know exactly what that means.
I said that when the defense comes out, they're going to load him in block. They're going to do a cover two.
I think they're going to hand check or I don't know.
A lot of cover two.
Play zone.
You know what I mean? That's important. You don't want your safeties going out too far.
He said something about field goals and I'm optimistic.
Hey, I'll take any 3 points we can get.
You listen to Total Soccer Show for all that stuff. I don't know.
Why you coming here for that? Why didn't even ask you?
So, yeah, it was very irresponsible of you to even ask me. But he did sound like he knew what he was talking about. And
which is all we care about,
which
really.
Which is all we need.
Just sound like
because we haven't had that for 14 months.
I love Sarakin, but he hasn't really been able to give us much of an answer because we knew he wasn't the guy.
He did. There were a couple weird things I noticed during the press conference. There was a lot of gratitude towards Anthony Precourt, which just felt strange. Ernie Stewart said thank you to Anthony Precourt because I think it was one of those... Because
they allowed him
to interview and things like
which
that.
Which might have cost him
but
the
it just, the sentence, thank you, Anthony Precourt, just is... It's just unsettling, right? And there was something else that was weird, but I don't remember. But it was, in general, it was a... it didn't leave me being like, all right, we're good. We Gold Cup. We win in this.
You don't walk away with a lot of confidence in these things.
Nah, it's just I hope. Look, I'm not a pessimist. I think Greg Berhalter, for one, is a good coach, and I think he will do fine. But there clearly is a and we didn't get to talk about this. I forgot when this interview was, but Michael Parkhurst was on MLS Rewind with Taylor Twellman. And when they asked him about the men's national team, this was before the Berhalter hire, he did say that like motivation and morale is down with the men's national team, where some of the players, according to Parkhurst, have suggested that when they do get a call up, they're like, oh, I gotta go. I'm gonna be away for 2 weeks, and I gotta go.
I think a big part of that, and I'm not reading into it. I'm not gonna say that I know for a fact. I think a big part of that is the fact that it had no real direction before.
Exactly.
So I think I think people are reading into it too much. I think people are saying like, oh no, the men's national team isn't even important. There's been no direction. I think the first thing Greg Halter needs to do.
Greg Halter?
Greg Berhalter.
Greg Halter is like, it sounds like a celebrity marriage.
No, that's his assistant. And you people don't know that. And you're out here disrespecting me. Yo, Mr. Halter.
It's the new Brangelina, Greg Halter.
I think Greg Berhalter needs to do is pick up the phone and just start calling all the Mexican-American players from ages 8 and up.
Somebody did ask that question.
Hola, ¿cómo estamos?
That was the thing. So that was the thing that surprised me. Berhalter did say that he has a fair command of the Spanish language. And I think from listening
Qué bueno! Gracias, yo!
Me alegro, entonces. I think from listening to the show, he's clearly learned a couple of things. But there is a little... Somebody did ask that question, and that was something he was fairly confident with, that he can... the first thing he said he's going to call all the domestic players, he's gonna be at MLS Cup, so maybe we'll get to press him a little bit,
right?
Get to high press him a little
bit. Hold on, we're gonna press him like streets.
Yes,
we gonna show up. You coming out the bathroom? Like, yo, my God, we need to talk right quick.
Yo, walk back in there.
What's good? Hit that third stall right quick.
We just want to make sure that the men's national team is in good hands.
We just got to put this out there. You know what I mean? We need to make sure you understand what we want. Who are us? Okay. Don't even ask.
Who are us?
Yeah. Well, we streets. You know what I mean? We can't say it properly. Who are we? We're not going to have a meeting, shake hands. That's not how you press somebody.
So, yes. So I think he did say that he's going to call the players, and then the next thing he's going to go to Europe to meet
relax
the international.
It's about time. The guy needs it.
Meet the players that are playing in Europe. So we'll see. I don't know. The thing with Berhalter, especially when it comes to the question of those dual nationals that can play for other countries, how motivating is Greg Berhalter to motivate Latinos that could play for a strong Mexico that has Tata Martino? Like, that is
allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah.
About as alleged as Berhalter having this job for the last few months.
Correct.
Here's the thing. Southgate is probably the closest thing we can relate.
Mm-hmm.
Southgate had no name, no nothing. I know it's a little different. You know, playing for the Three Lions is a bigger deal for those guys. Although really towards the end of when What's-His-Face got fired after Big Sam got fired after the first day on the job, they were down on that, and it wasn't a big deal, and the pressure and blah, blah, blah. And things have turned because of the youth players in England. And I think the same thing is going to happen in the U.S. I think you're going to see a coach that does a pretty good job. I don't know if he survives past the first contract, but look, we don't need to win the 2022 World Cup, right? We don't need to win in Qatar. What we need to do is start to play better. We need to look good in some of our regional competitions, and we need to go into the World Cup with some hope. If he can do that, then we're fine.
Yeah, I think he can do that.
And I think that'll turn the tide. And I don't think players are going to be like, oh, God, blah, blah, blah. For a lot of these players, it's still an honor. It's still their dream to play.
For a lot of players. And that was my assumption. But clearly, you know, Parky knows something we don't.
Well,
just say that.
Think of the guys like Christian Pulisic. You've seen how frustrated they are. It's going to be different now.
I agree. And I think Greg Berhalter is someone who can handle the, you know, moving forward in that direction.
And so, by the way, you see how frustrated we were not knowing who the coach was going to be. How do you think these players felt? They didn't find out about it until we found out about it.
Sure.
So they're probably just as frustrated as we are.
Yeah, we're probably more connected.
Justin Meerum said on the other podcast, the state radio podcast, that he didn't find out Berhalter got the job until he told them the day before it was announced. So
I don't know. Look, Cordero also did say that there was no deadline. And that
of course not. That's why he's got his legs kicked up, you know?
No, but that the main priority after missing the World Cup was to the bid for the 2026. So his argument was, yo, we were busy and we had more important things to do. And he clarified his words to not just be super dismissive of it, but it's obvious. The money of the, you know, getting the 2026 World Cup was more important than assigning a coach.
I also think it's not just the money. I think it's the inspiration.
The prestige.
No, I think how it inspires. Think of the difference that was made after the 94 World Cup. We keep hearing over and over and over again how more people cared about soccer, and that really inspired. They were forced to get the league at that point. Think of that bump of the fandom that happens after a World Cup. It's only going to quadruple if it's here.
I would argue that we may have missed the World Cup because maybe from U.S. soccer, they were so much more focused on that bid for 2026. So in 2017.
2017.
That year, the rumblings, Sunil probably focused on like, all right, we're probably going to have to prep for this. Maybe they
were like, we got to get the bag. I can't worry about the players right
maybe,
now.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, yeah, well, how did that happen, right?
You might not be wrong.
That's just saying.
All right. Pimpin', right? We hit him with that Law and Order. We just solved the case.
All right.
Damn, yo. Everything getting solved today. We know who's leaving reviews. We know why we missed the World Cup.
Also, next breaking story that we broke, Tyler Adams.
Tyler Adams. That's us.
So, speaking of U.S. soccer, Tyler Adams and Red Bull, product.
Yeah, have announced that he's walking down the hallway to the other Rebel. Did you see the photo of him in the Salzburg, the Leipzig jersey?
Yeah.
It looked exactly
the same shirt.
You're wearing the same shirt.
You just have a Nike logo on it.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's the only difference. It's made by Nike.
So, yeah. So now that's official, another Berhalter secret. We all knew that was going to happen. But
and then next Tata will be announced. And there goes everything we already knew for months.
So, but no. Proud of the kid. I think he's going to do
great. For America. Even if you don't like the Rebels, this is great for America.
Yeah. So I don't even know why you had to highlight that point. Whatever.
No,
yeah.
Because there's people that are like, oh, who cares? He's going to another Rebel Pride. This is good. Players that are, this hasn't happened before.
Oh, you mean like RB Leipzig, meeting if you don't like Leipzig or
New York Rebels. Okay. If you're an MLS fan and you're like, who cares about Tyler Adams? This is now a very important men's national team player.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say who. I can understand who care, like if you're not, you know, NYCFC fans or whatever, or DC United
or Philly fans.
I can understand that, but you gotta show respect to Tyler Adams, man. He's doing big things. I think he's gonna do great. I agree. And according to all reports, like especially seeing the comments from, and I don't know if this is like a marketing thing or this is like truth, but like, you know, Alphonso Davies at Bayern. It's like the president of the team is like, I've seen him in training. He's great. We're excited. So it sounds like, oh, he might get some minutes. I don't know if it's like he is actually good or, Canada, tune into some Bayern games because your boy is playing.
Please. Please. Yeah.
But they're saying the same thing about Tyler Adams and that they feel like he's going to be able to crack the first team pretty soon.
That's so great.
We'll see. So he goes, I think he leaves January 1st or whatever. And he's apparently been learning German for the last 5 months. You knew. From the beginning, brother.
What? Why were you learning that?
Why were you learning German?
Just trying to order a schnitzel?
And there were reports that Danny Royer was helping him with his German, which is nice of him. There was a reporter that was covering New York Rebels for The Athletic, I believe. I don't remember. But there were particular details about like the last press conference. And one of them that I found interesting was about Bradley Wright Phillips, that apparently his wife had gotten him a rec room, like a wrecking room to like you, so where you can break stuff to deal with the loss to Atlanta.
There's places like that. Like there used to be one in Bushwick.
Okay.
Where they just like you.
There's places like that. It was Alexis's childhood home.
Yeah. It was called the basement. I wasn't allowed out until I broke stuff. No, there used to be a place. I don't know if it's still there. It may have been in Masbeth where you have to wear the goggles and that overall outfit, like the outbreak kind of suit.
Okay.
And you have like boots on or whatever, but they give you everything. Like the walls are like just splashed with paint and there's like pedestals and they would put like old TVs and just things made of glass and you would get like bats, hatchets, sledgehammers, and you could just go to town.
Yeah.
And then you paid by the hour. Or I guess probably by the 10 minutes, because, you know, I mean, there's only so much time you can break shit. You're like, all right, I get it.
This was great, because I never, it's like details like that kind of get lost, but that's so awesome. It's right. Just so fun. Because obviously, you know, losing in the playoffs, in the MLS playoffs, like obviously it can be
huge.
Tragic, dramatic, and hard, and people have to cope in their own ways. And that was from Pardeep Khatri, who was a Rebel reporter, and she covers the women's national team and Rebels for Athletic and Guardian. So shout out to that for that. Like, I love those tidbits like that.
That's important for the fans to hear that, because we wouldn't know that he needs a breaking room.
Yeah, I thought he would like just go in the booth, you know, and spit. Like
he got bars. The kid got bars, man.
BWP got bars. So maybe you know,
we're trying to battle him.
We all need like our therapy in different ways. So okay, a couple other things that we're gonna talk about because real quick. I want to give a shout out to Danny, El Parcero Danny from...
Yeah, he was here.
From Parceros United. He's an Atlanta United fan.
Or Parceros with Sombreros, no?
But he changed it. Changed, so now it's Parceros United.
Oh, there we go.
But he came out to a comedy show I did in the East Village over the weekend. We got
over
to hang
Niagara
out. Yeah, over Niagara. It was great.
Great little room there.
Great show. A lot of fun. I'm glad that, you know, a lot of times people... They hear that we're stand-up comics and we do jokes and we do all these soccer jokes on this show. Mm-hmm. But when we actually do stand-up, we cannot do any soccer jokes because people don't know what we're talking about.
We did get a taste of what that was like in the World Cup comedy tour.
Yes,
it was amazing.
So I was trying to like, oh, let me hit him with something. So like, he's my homie. I want to tell some soccer jokes.
Yeah.
And it's just this, weird, I can do a joke about soccer or something very specific about like MLS or whatever. And it's just literally, there were like four people laughing at that. They were like, the rest of the crowd would laugh at other jokes.
Yeah.
But when it was something soccer, it was just like four people laughing.
And that, look, that's better than before. Like 2 years ago, it would have been one person.
Exactly. So there was a Man City fan in the crowd as well, a British guy. And so it's just like, this is what the American stand-up audiences are like.
You have to find them.
We try to bring this world to them and they're like, no, thank you. Please
talk
stop.
About the differences between men and women.
So, and speaking of the differences between men and women, the Ballon d'Or.
Went off without a hitch. They started a women's Ballon d'Or. What a wonderful thing. Glad it went by peacefully and respectfully.
Alexis, I actually have to interrupt you there because something actually did go wrong.
No, couldn't have been. From all the reports I read, everything went perfectly well.
I don't know what you're
French
reading.
French DJs are great options to host.
I think you're reading the Drudge Report.
Yeah, I'm reading Trump's tweets.
He was like, I really love the Ballon d'Or ceremony. Yeah. There was nothing wrong with
Perfect.
It.
Perfect. Maybe one day she will dance.
Ridiculous. So Ada, I'm going to butcher her name probably.
Hegerberg.
Hegerberg.
Hegerberg?
Hegerberg. Hegerberg. Wins the first women's Ballon d'Or.
Shouts to her.
Yeah, shouts to her. And this is, I didn't even realize that there wasn't a women's Ballon d'Or, but there was an award. It was like the female player of the year or women's player of the year.
But it wasn't the Ballon d'Or.
It wasn't specifically the Ballon d'Or. So she wins the first one.
And she plays for Olympic Lyonnais.
Yes. Yeah. She's, I believe, from Norway, if I'm not mistaken. And she...
Her last name is Hegerberg. It's literally the Swedish chef.
Who knows? I believe she's from Norway, though. I'm not wrong about that, right? I don't know. Anyway, I'll double check. So there was a DJ doing the hosting the event. So, and that's already the first thing, right? This already
Let's just
time.
Start talking about that. You hire a host and you choose a guy whose entire career is not talking and standing behind turntables.
Yeah. So
or a laptop at this point.
So this guy, Martin Solvig, bumped into the DJ booth metaphorically, and he made a comment, and it was in French, and he basically said after she gave a resounding speech and a beautiful comments about how important it was and how significant it was for girls and the sport of women's soccer, she's winning the award, and she like, you know, appreciates it and doesn't take it lightly. First thing he says is, do you want to twerk, basically, right? Just basically kind of like celebrate winning the thing. And she was just straight up like, no.
And then walked away. Which is super. That's
the right thing to
what
do.
What a classy way. Because I think everyone else would have been with you if you were just like, yeah, I'm going to choke you out.
Yeah, twerk. So as comedians.
She is Norwegian, by the way.
Yes. So as comedians, I feel, you know, it's one of those things where we understand that what we do is difficult, right? Like, we're not boasting about it. We get how hard it is. We started from not knowing how to do this to knowing how to do this.
Pretty close. And as close as anyone's gotten.
We're trying our best. Not to say that we're perfect, but it's when you hire a French DJ to do this and this particular event, right? Like,
right.
And in most award ceremonies, right? Like the Oscars, the Emmys. What do we have? We have comedians host them because they're
familiar with the task of handling something with levity, but also maybe not offending everyone.
Yeah, I mean,
for the most part, or at least just being dumb,
or at least being more careful with the jokes and what more responsible with the jokes,
or knowing how to say something like that without saying that. If you want to, how do you want to celebrate? There's a funny way to do it. Not twerking.
Yes.
Twerking is not it. And correct. That's just someone who doesn't know anything about comedy who's like, twerking is
heard
wild.
Kids like the twerking.
It's pretty wild. Let me ask this person. I'm sure this won't cause an international incident.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I just know millions of people are going to watch this forever.
There's a funny way to ask. How are you going to celebrate? That was not it. That would never be it. And also, how do you not understand the weight of the moment?
That's really the main thing. How do you not know that? There is a bit of a carefulness that you should, in any given scenario. If I'm at a comedy club, I'm probably going to be, if I'm doing crowd work with somebody, maybe I make a twerk joke or whatever, depending on the context.
Being almost like being, you know, lightly disrespectful is almost the fun of the crowd work anyway.
Exactly.
But this was not a comedy club.
This is not
club.
The this place where
millions
you
of people are
and
watching.
Comedians know that.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. And It raises
other events, maybe where you're honoring a player, you know, that's been on the team for a while. Always, you want someone who's funny, I think, you know, someone who can add a, maybe speak to that person in their native language.
Maybe, but that would be crazy.
That would be wild.
So soccer doesn't do this, right? And this is why our show is weird and unique to the soccer world to some degree,
right?
Because why wouldn't soccer shows, soccer events have more comedians on there? One, because comedians are not really the place you look to for soccer fans, right? But a comedian would handle this more responsibly. And
even just an announcer who had a good sense of humor,
yes,
would have been able to handle this, but also probably wouldn't have tried to joke in that moment. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
They would have understood the weight of the moment. They would have understand this is probably not the time to try to get off this quick. I'm working on this twerk bit. I'm going to get out.
You know? All right. I'm working in front of Mbappe.
You know? Let me pull out my notebook. You know what I mean? And we'll see what's up.
Just do at the Ballon d'Or ceremony, just do like stand-up yeah, comedian stuff. Like, what's going on,
yeah, so,
guys?
So what else? Yeah. What did I want to talk to you guys about today?
Look at this guy.
Hey, where are you from? Like, Messi, I'm from Argentina. All right. Fifth place. Kind of sucks.
Unfortunate.
You're in Europa.
She handled it well in that she
said she wasn't offended by it. It doesn't matter. The rest of the world seems to be pretty upset about it.
Like this that did cross my mind where sometimes the internet can be really sensitive.
Yeah, it gets a little mobbish.
So I was like, at first, I'm like, are we mad at this? At first.
Yeah.
Because after watching what she said, she was like, no, I wasn't offended. I was fine. I spoke to him. He apologized and all this other stuff. So I had to really think about it. I'm like, am I offended at this? And in reality, I'm a little bit. And not as a comment. It's just like, it's really the weight of the moment, right? Again, it's the first, she's the first Ballon d'Or winner. She gave this incredible speech. Just be like, yo, thank you. That was beautiful. That was amazing.
I think here's why I'm offended. I'm offended, in no particular order, the fact that it's a dumb joke. It's a dumb opportunity to make a dumb joke.
Yeah.
This isn't the time to do that. And last, all those young women watching this moment, watching their first, especially young women who play soccer, who think like, yo, what was like the peak? Like you want to win World Cup. Personal success, Ballon d'Or, has now become something that they can win.
Yeah.
And this is the moment where their first representative of the female gender is going to go out and is going to win Ballon d'Or. And the first thing that they get asked, yeah, is like, yo, you want to shake that ass, though?
It overtakes the
It
the
gives
moment.
You, like, you could be the greatest athlete in the world. And if you're a woman, your sexuality is still going to be the first thing that's asked.
It's so weird because during, like, Miss America, they're more respectful.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
You're out of here. How dare you ask this woman in a bikini if she wants to shake her ass?
It would never happen because they know. They just know. And there's something, it's really about what offended me. It's just like that dismissal of women's soccer and women who play. And it's probably way worse in Europe, right? Because there's a reason.
Because European.
No,
because he's French. They don't understand.
No, because of the.
It's
the,
a joke, by the way.
The support for the women's game was definitely more popular here first in the U.S. before it was in Europe.
Yeah, because they're the only ones who were winning. Well, I mean, you kind of had to, right?
Sure. Like, no, but it was because Title IX and the investment
into
the sport.
Yeah, no, of course. There's other reasons.
But from at the youth level, it was more supported. So yeah, just the concept of little girls playing soccer and then trying to be professional.
Some young Norwegian girl is like, should I practice my free kicks or should I practice twerking if this is what we're going to be asked?
Yeah.
You know?
So that's...
It's unfair and it sucks.
Yeah. And
you know what? Maybe this dude isn't a bad dude. He had a bad moment. You're going to be branded that now because you were too stupid to know you should not be hosting these things.
Yeah. So
stay behind the MacBook, my guy.
The 2019 Ballon d'Or should be hosted by the Cooligans. I don't see why.
I mean, this is literally what we're trying to pitch.
I mean, we're really trying to pitch that. But look.
Who else can console Messi when he ends in sixth place next year?
But props to her. So let's talk about a couple other things. Luka Modric did win the
Luka Modric won. And
the male Ballon d'Or winner, the inferior Ballon d'Or. Wait, honestly?
Also, Luka, how's that ass work, bro? Shake it, bro. Well, drop a beat. Yo, you a DJ? Nobody asked him that.
But I don't even know. Look, the award itself is weird in general, but like the Modric winning, I mean, I think he had like probably like 7 goals this season. It's like, maybe
he had a great World Cup too, though.
He had a great World Cup. I don't know. Seems weird. It's just like, it's weird to me that Messi doesn't win it.
Messi finished further than third, or lower than third, for the first time since his first year he was able to win.
It's crazy.
It's insane. He was a runner-up last year.
Yeah. And then now, who knows? I think what lost him was
that awkward photo he took. That sort of like frozen in time.
Yeah.
This girl's out here posing, changing moves. And he's just like...
There were a bunch of another awkward photo that reminded me, because somebody did mention this. Neymar in the
Sorrento, Neymar.
Neymar in the Yankee, the puffy jacket, yeah, and the Yankee.
And you
fitted
it with the flat brim,
dude.
That guy, that person says my guy. 100%.
That person says my guy. That person has hooked up with my girl.
Yeah. He got fired from Uber for flirting.
So a couple other things that we're going to talk about before we bring in our guest. A couple players that did not get their options picked up for the next season in Major League Soccer, that we just have to point out, because
some of them are former guests.
Some of them are former guests, and we love them dearly. They were showing us support when
no one else would. Maybe this is why they lost.
Maybe
how dare you go to World Cup Comedy Tour? You're out of here.
No, but Drew Connor of the Chicago Fire.
Salute to Drew. He's a friend of ours.
One
of the chillest dudes we've met in all of soccer.
Great dude, and scored. He got that credited with that great assist with that Bastian Schweinsteiger like rocket. And it was just like an innocuous pass, and then Schweinsteiger
turned it into gold.
Blasted from 30 yards.
He meant for that to happen.
But that was because of Drew and nobody else.
If Drew didn't have that vision, it wouldn't have happened.
So Drew Connor, his option did not get picked up. He's a Chicago Fire homegrown. So this is like...
Homegrown, yeah. He was a fan. He was in the stands.
Yeah, so I know it's a big deal and disappointing, but...
Maybe he can renegotiate his contract or something and get picked up
or
again.
End up with another team. You never know. But we wish you all the best, man. Also another player that did not get their option picked up. And this one makes a little bit more sense only because of dealing with a lot of injury. The Sporting Kansas City legend won an MLS Cup. Fashion icon. Aurelien Collin of the New York Red Bulls.
Thank you for saying the name so I don't have to attempt it.
he didn't get the newly
Venezolano.
That's right. He is a very dual national.
Yeah.
But I love how he owns the Venezuelan as well. You know.
He embraced it. He
adopted it. Right. He married a Venezuelan woman. But he's like, nah, I'm
all right. You take my last name. I'm gonna take your entire culture.
Okay. Paint me in vino tinto.
Yeah.
So that's
a big Joseph Martinez fan now.
So another player whose option didn't get picked up, but hopefully, I don't know. He's a bit older. I don't know if this is...
He's also very expensive. I think Red Bulls got rid of the three most expensive players, which makes sense. You know, teams are starting to drop this is an issue with the cap. You can't keep someone like Aurelien Collin on, hoping that he, you know, maybe heals up or he could provide some sort of, veteran presence.
Leadership.
You got to get
him
out of here.
Yeah. So... Okay, a couple other things real quick. Let's head over to England. There were a couple games. We had a couple derbies that...
some important games.
That we both followed.
One of them was at 6:30 in the morning for me. Very difficult.
That's right, because you were in the West Coast now.
Not easy.
I mean, even if it was at 9:30, you wouldn't wake up.
But as an Arsenal fan, I wake up. I watch it from my phone on the toilet. It's the true story, okay? You want to know the truth? You didn't ask. I told you. I'm like Michael Cohen. I'm just going to tell you everything and hope you're cool with it. I woke up at like 6:55.
Okay.
So I missed the first half. But any Arsenal fan knows, you just watch the second half this year. That's how they go. They score most of their goals in the second half.
All right.
And boy, was I right. A good risk. I missed the penalty. I ended up going back and watching it.
Okay.
But, dude, that second half, I mean, Tottenham got destroyed.
Yes, they were.
Up and down. Probably,
so the North London derby was a...
North London's red, my guy.
That's how they say it out there.
Yeah. 100%. Cheerio, my dude.
Cheerio, my dude. What was the score? 4-2?
4-2.
They're really going for that fifth. That second half for Arsenal did look great.
Oh, they would have got six if they would have started the game like that. We should just convince the players that this is the beginning of the second half at first kick.
Sure. Just wind their clocks a little forward.
Oh, no. We're all late for the game, boys.
So the...
obviously, a banana peel was thrown at Aubameyang.
Yes.
There's a reporter, someone who works in England who said they were fine with this. And that's pure trash.
Reporter slash monster.
Yeah. I mean, and I just put this person, Martin Samuelson, I believe his name is.
Maybe we want to get his name right if we're going to accuse him of something.
This person isn't trash just yet until I find the name here. And do you want to say something while I do this?
I don't know why it's so important that you get his name. It was just some reporter.
Daily Mail's Martin Samuel tried to defend the guy.
Apologies to Martin Samuelson. With all due respect, we did not mean to.
Marcus Samuelson, all these guys. Martin Samuel, who works for the Daily Mail, could suck a dick. He tried to say that this is fine. This happens. The Spurs play fans can call themselves yids. Then you could throw your banana. No, you can't.
All right. I don't know. Look, I mean, I don't know if I want to really go with Alexis's paraphrasing of that, of him just saying.
I literally just read a tweet, but I added a little.
I don't know what he said because I didn't read this article.
Daily Mail's Martin Samuel defends Tottenham banana skin thrower. A banana skin. Just call it peel, everybody. Versus Arsenal. Arsenal's Pierre-Emerick
Aubameyang. I don't know what that means.
By comparing the incident to Spurs fans calling themselves yids. And I read
part of the article. Got it. Yes.
But I read enough to know this Martin Samuel dude is trash.
So maybe it's a weird article to write. But the fact that this happened is especially in England and especially in the Prem, when we know it's weird, but we almost if you're going to be the top league, the most watched, the most money, most marketing dollars, then we have to go nuts when this happens. There's no other option. It's obviously disgusting.
Most of the fans, at least what I could see on Twitter and what I was hearing and viewing in articles and stuff, were, you know, this is an abomination. The worst.
It has nothing to do with Tottenham fans.
No, it's not Tottenham fans. This was one fan.
Yeah.
There's Tottenham fans that, sure, I'm sure there's some of them thought this was okay. The most that I heard, everyone was like, yo, this is not cool. The players thought that was not cool. This is not a Tottenham thing. This is a one-person thing. And defending that one person, the only way Martin Samuel can make this up to the fans and keep his job, I think, is to, one, apologize, and two, you got to twerk. Okay?
You got to twerk. Okay,
you got to twerk. All right? We asked the French DJ, what do they do in the parliament over there? And he said, this is how you resolve these issues.
Okay, yeah. They all scream at each other, and then one person starts twerking, and they all get silent.
Wait.
And then that'll finish.
The beat, the song fades out, and that person just slowly gets up, and they're like,
what's all with the yelling? I don't know how the English parliament just yell at each other until someone out screams the other one,
and they also throw shade. They're like, with much respect to the person over at the Labour Party, you couldn't fight your way out of a brown paper bag. And everyone's like, no, this is quite funny. Shocking, even.
Wow, everybody working out bits out here.
Pardon me from the Tory Party, but your mother is so fat. And someone's like, how large is she? I'll tell you. When she wears a VHS as a beeper. Because they're backdated in technology. Quite one, young chap. We resolved much today here in the parliament.
Brexit is approved.
Great.
He has outrusted his opponent.
Great burn. Brexit will go through.
That's how politics should be handled.
Theresa May's like, God damn it, man. I need a ghostwriter.
Who writes with Drake?
Yo, Quinn Miller, get over here.
So, oh my God. Obviously, it's just unfortunate with what happened there. But apparently, the Tottenham fan got arrested. And
he's banned for life.
And he's banned. I heard indefinite ban. So I don't know how long it's going to take for him to learn from his mistakes. Or her. I don't know who did it.
I think it is a dude.
Okay. It's always a dude.
Always.
Let's be clear about that. Yeah, no. Men are the worst people in the world.
No, a woman would not have done that. It has to be like a really terrible woman.
Sure. I mean, it's for it to be that bad of a woman, it would take like 7 bad women to equal 1 bad man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how awful we are. Anyway, also,
but not us. We're great.
Not us. We're great. Exclusively. The Merseyside Derby is another derby that happened.
Oh, I heard that went by swimmingly for you, Everton fans.
Without a hitch.
Did you see the Michael Jordan, Jordan Pickford.
I retweeted it.
Did you? Wow.
Yes.
The disrespect.
So
there's almost like nothing else to talk about besides the last 17 seconds. There really is nothing about this match.
Everton loses this game 1-0. This was, you know, to credit.
Liverpool did not win.
Liverpool.
We need to be clear. They were given 3 points.
They were gifted.
They
Christmas came early.
They did not in any way, shape, or form win this game. Everton lost this game.
Yes. So Everton loses this game 1-0.
Yeah, your voice is breaking up.
I mean, it's an emotional time. Yeah. I was so mad.
Your group chat was just like all caps. Yo, fuck this and fuck that and fuck
so
Bob.
Ridiculous.
He never gets this angry.
Because Jordan Pickford, England's number one. Right. And this is the point I was making before, which is obviously such a ridiculous mistake. And it's and Pickford was in a weird situation where he's like, is it going to go out? Is it not? Do I want to give up a corner? Do I not? And clearly,
he didn't give up a corner, though, which is great. He gave up a goal. But he did not give up a corner.
Good on you, sir.
Yeah. So he was like, I mean, in the end, I was kind of right.
I mean, I did what I planned to do. Right?
Yeah.
So. Obviously, just
mission accomplished.
A ridiculous mistake. But this is what I get so frustrated with when it comes to
being an Everton fan.
Being an Everton, whatever. But just the quality of goalkeeping, and when it's like he should be ridiculed. He should for this mistake, because whenever something happens in MLS, a goalkeeper makes a mistake. It's like, oh, MLS goalkeeping, American.
The standard is too low.
Yes, it's just and Pickford did have a great game, and he is a great keeper. It's just like there's a lot of great MLS keepers that occasionally make mistakes, but this is such a frustrating situation where like that there isn't that same criticism. For when Premier League keepers, you know, we don't collectively say that something's wrong with the league,
right?
And that is what sort of came to mind. But it was just infuriating.
Yeah, whatever. Because God forbid if that mistake had been made by an MLS keeper, all you'd hear is the standard of American players are too low. This is why they don't win the World Cup. This is why they don't make the World Cup. He does it, and they're like, "Oh, he had a bad moment." Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's
not
it.
The entire development structure is bad?
La-di-da. How
just
nice.
a little blinked at the wrong time. Is that all it was? Jordan Pickford?
What a luxury.
We do that. We're the worst country at playing soccer in the world.
We don't know anything about the sport. Typical Americans.
If he was American, he'd already been shipped out. Don't worry. He's our fifth keeper and janitor. He's part-time janitor now. I want everyone to know. He's only in training.
So frustrating. But look, what are you going to do? I was hoping... I thought Everton could possibly win that game, even with every gift they were
giving. I thought
you were
going to draw.
They should have drawn.
Yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah, they should
have. Also, I want the fans to know, since day one, right? All of our day one fans, if you think back, you remember that, I forgot your name already. Christian Blanco had to make a decision between Everton and Arsenal. Which team was he going to follow?
That's right.
And because of Lukaku, you picked Everton.
I did. I made the right choice.
3 years later, how do we feel?
And now I'm a proud Manchester United fan.
There he is, folks. Well, you're going to have to wait because I'm sure he's going to be dropped from that team too.
Exactly. So all right, we're going to get to our next segment. We'll talk to our guest, which we're absolutely stoked to have on the show.
It's exciting.
Again,
guys are going to call the MLS Cup final.
I mean, yeah, we let them have
we're
the
job. We're going to call it. I don't know who just scored, but somebody scored. And you got John Strong and Solden just tied up in the corner. We moved a desk in front of the door so we can't get arrested, so we don't have any of the books and stuff.
Hey, just give us 90 minutes.
I know. Come on. That's all we want. We'll go to jail.
So we'll be talking to John Strong and Stu Holden in just a bit. So we'll be right back after this.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. Right now, we just want to break in with a little word from one of our sponsors, Northland Video.
Northland Video. We've been talking about them a whole bunch.
They're great.
If you need a highlight reel for, say, your son or daughter is trying
maybe
to get...
Maybe it's for you.
Maybe it's for you.
Maybe you're trying to get back in the league, man, you know, or right. Lady.
It's just like a good like resume for yourself to get back in your Sunday league. Right?
Absolutely. You send it out to the guys. You shouldn't have kicked me out. Maybe you got a kid and maybe you want them to get ready for, you know, college. colleges are coming up, right? They're coming up. You may not have heard of them. They're going
to
start
bringing
kids.
Alexis has never been to school.
I don't know what that is, but I heard if you send them a tape of highlights, they'll give you money. I sent them video of me eating. Didn't work. But check it out. Northland Video, they know exactly what the coaches want. They've went out and they've interviewed some of the coaches. They've spoken to them and said, hey, what is it that you're looking for in these videos? So you don't have to sit there and try to figure out iMovie. You don't know how it works, okay? You send him the videos you've already shot and they'll put that together. And because you listen to the Cooligans, you're going to get 50% off the assembly fee.
That's right. So that's a $75 value. You'd be saving $75.
Huge.
And it's huge. So, and there's so many ways. You could just send them the footage, or if you're in the Seattle area, they can film games for you. So, and it's something just, you can talk to them about, say you are filming something yourself. You could be like, hey, what should I actually go film? What should I focus on? And then you can work together to get like the best highlight for your kid and hopefully get them a scholarship.
Let the pros do it. And there's no better pro than Northland Video.
So go to northlandvideo.com and let them know that the Cooligans sent you.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. I want to break in with another word from another one of our sponsors, Away Days.
Away Days Football. We've been talking about them a whole bunch.
They're great.
They're great. And look, and
Christmas is coming. Holidays are coming.
It's currently Hanukkah.
Currently Hanukkah. Yo, you got a gift picked out for the 8th day?
All right. Or how about for each day,
yeah,
you can get
but the 8th is the big one.
The 8th, but I mean,
I'm assuming.
Not if you really love your Jewish kids.
That's true.
You get them 8 big gifts.
If you love your Jewish kid, you get them 8 big gifts. And what better 8 gifts than awaydaysfootball.com, because they got dope hoodies, dope hats. They got winter hats right now that are pure fire.
That's
which
right.
Are cool. But this is the thing that we freaked out about when we heard
the mystery kit.
Wow.
Mystery kit is really the main draw, right? So like you can order a kit and you don't know what kit you're getting. And it's just
how beautiful is that? You don't know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you might not have ever heard of the team. They're gonna send you clubs from like the second division in Sweden or, you know, third division in Norway. Some dope little team you never heard of. You weren't gonna buy these kits anyway. And here's the thing, it's only $25, and you're gonna get this incredible kit to your size. I mean, shipped to you. It's a surprise when you open. It's like an extra holiday.
Yes, exactly. There's a 9th day of Hanukkah.
Yeah. Come on. What about that kid you didn't tell your wife about? That's the 9th day.
So go to awaydaysfootball.com. Use the promo code Cooligans, and you will receive 15% off. Do it now.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I am too stoked. These guys have been on the show so much.
Is that
much.
Your rapper name, Too Stoked?
Too Stoked. Yeah.
Gang, gang, gang. Let's go. Right.
We're about to go meet 2 Chainz. We're going to Atlanta. All 4 of us are going to be in Atlanta.
I am very stoked because these guys, they're becoming a
third time this year.
Yeah.
It's like Joan Rivers on the Carson show at this point. It's great.
Yeah. Invite them to the table. Yeah. They made
Open invitation.
But we are happy to have them here. You want to introduce them, Alexis?
I mean, you know exactly who these guys are. They're the voice of soccer in America. We love them. If you watch Fox Sports, you know who these guys are. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one and only John Strong and Stu Holden, everybody.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, guys. You guys are going to be calling the MLS Cup final this Saturday, December 8th. We're going to be there. So we're going to, you know.
So you're going to watch us on the DVR.
Pretty much.
Actually, we're going
to we need the ratings cups point, up to the guys.
Door. We're going to put cups up to the door where you guys are. Security's like,
there's going to be 72,000 people there that you might have a hard time hearing.
You're not hearing it.
There's nothing happening through cups there.
You know, you guys all watch them with the open windows. I would love to just be in the other room and just stick my head in your window, see if it throws you guys off.
We'd have security actually. Yeah.
How are you feeling about this particular matchup? I know you have worked with the Timbers for a long time. Yeah, once or twice.
I know a little bit.
And they are playing this behemoth of a soccer team in Atlanta. So not necessarily predictions, but how do you feel about the fact that it's happening at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, MLS Cup Final, and what does it mean for American soccer?
It's a great matchup. I think this was something where when we got to this Final Four, any of those teams would have been a good matchup, yeah, including Kansas City and the Red Bulls. The fact that the final's in Atlanta, not just the 72,000 in the stadium, that entire city is going to be on fire for this game, not to make a Civil War reference, but the idea that Atlanta is one of the places where the soccer team matters. It really does. And that's what's cool, as opposed to other cities where we could have had this final where maybe a lot of the people are oblivious to it. So that's an exciting part of it. I think Portland as a team has played really well to get here. I don't think they're going to be intimidated by it, whether they can deal with easy over there. What Atlanta's going to bring in this game, I think, is another matter, but it's a wonderful matchup for sure.
Yeah, I mean, also talk about the Timbers coming in. As far as you're talking about soccer cities and places where it matters, I mean, Portland has been one of the best examples of fan culture that this league has seen. And, you know, maybe not in the same type of numbers as far as 72,000 in a stadium, but I just love the way that this team has grown under Savarese, and to the point where they've embraced almost an underdog role in this year's MLS Cup, and all the talk is about Atlanta and about the superstars that they have and the coach, and this is his last game before he goes to Mexico. It's almost like, hey, we're over here too, but they don't mind that talk. I think that's going to help them.
That's
yeah.
part of what inspires them almost, right? It's like, oh, no one's thinking about us, but we're pretty great, and wait till you see when we get there.
Yeah, but they don't play like underdogs thing. And they are tough. They are resilient, and they have some difference makers. They have stars.
It's
as
weird
well.
To me that they're called underdogs at all, given that they just won an MLS Cup 3 years ago.
Yeah, they were first Diego place Valera. In the Western Conference a year ago. They have last year's MVP. I sort of roll my eyes sometimes. Every single team tries to be the underdog. Every single team yeah. tries to play. They don't believe in us card. Even Atlanta was sort of playing that because they lost the supporter shield in the final day to the Red Bulls.
Right.
And that, you know, with a lower seed, all this type
People
of stuff.
Have the Red Bulls for the last decade. I'm like, yeah. hey, what's not the
That kind of stuff is like, oh,
but if you,
okay,
but right. if you know as a coach that that helps your
oh, yeah.
team,
you're going to embrace
you're
it.
You're going
sure.
to yeah, embrace yeah. it. You're going to state it publicly. But internally, you're saying, hey, guys, we know we have a legitimate chance yeah. at winning this game.
Yeah. And I think one of the things about the Timbers in particular is the fan base. And that goes back a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these fans has been around for a long
Don't
time.
Don't get John Strong started on the history.
This would be an hour long conversation.
No, I mean,
you
I just think
it.
Sometimes yeah. some of their fans who used to sit back in section 107, you know exactly where that is, right? Some of them would have called themselves mental and barmy.
Yeah.
What do we say about
that? I got that in my office.
What do we say about this picture?
Have
of
you
John
seen that before?
Strong.
Oh, I've seen it.
The fans heard you were coming yeah. and somebody
it's
heard,
he always likes to toot his own horn. It's, That's true. It's weird.
He's literally
well,
doing
you're
that.
The one on the left, right?
That was back before we knew that vuvuzelas were
that's
bad.
That's John Strong right here.
You were the one with the vuvuzela?
Yeah, yeah, he's okay. vuvuzela. Yeah, that's him.
I got that vuvuzela at my first ever pro soccer game, which was the San Jose Clash against Chivas Guadalajara in Portland in the spring of 98. It was red. I painted it green, like spray painted it.
You could see the red underneath.
Yeah. That's and that was in 2004. That was the night that Alan Gordon, it was the Alan Gordon Chainsaw Massacre. He scored a hat trick against Milwaukee his rookie year.
All in the 96th minute, which real Alan Gordon style.
Well, the last one came, it was an overtime golden goal back then in the yes. A-League, and he's the only player ever to saw off his own piece of the log because it was a golden goal. So he grabbed Timber Jim's chainsaw and he actually sawed his own piece of the log off in celebration of that win.
That's such an Alan Gordon move. Yeah, did yeah. he at least have clothes on when he did it?
He was shirtless.
There you go.
Typical.
You don't
yeah.
normally when you're sawing logs, do you?
I don't even know how to react to that, actually.
I love that that happened on the show.
Well, you know what? No, I'm just curious. Speaking of...
By the way, I was trying to figure out, because you kept staring at your phone. I'm like, yeah. what is so interesting on your phone?
I was trying to pick it up. I was
I'm
trying
like,
to
get oh, okay,
somebody
gotcha,
DM'd
yeah.
us that.
Yeah, yeah.
So a big fan of yours and a big fan of the Timbers.
Part of me was actually, why is Alexis being incredibly unprofessional right now?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It was weird. It came from at Nicole Strong.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you feel about?
They actually came from your assistant. They said you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Alan it was
Gordon,
on my list of topics.
He announced his retirement this year,
did,
right?
He did.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. How do you feel about him? Because I know this.
Not the shoe thing, right?
Oh gosh.
Just in general, the brave, you know, kind of person that he is to be this wild and be this enigmatic and be crazy.
Alan Gordon's one of my all-time favorites.
Okay.
Because he went to Oregon State. He was drafted by the Galaxy. They weren't interested. He comes to Portland, has this incredible 2004 season, and he ended up building this career where he became this cult hero. He's actually...
Of a playgirl model.
Well, but also, the funny thing is, all-time MLS leader in goals as a substitute, second most goals in MLS history in second half stoppage time. He actually produced in a significant way in these things, and it's fun. The other fun story from that year was that the shoes he had, he wore red shoes. They were size too small because they basically, like Nike brought it, here's a box of shoes, guys, for the A-League Timbers, yeah, and he yeah. grabbed a pair. By the end of the season, he had worn through the shoes, so he went and bought like a regular black pair of shoes that fit him, and he stopped scoring for a couple weeks, and so a collection was taken in the Timbers army to buy him a new pair of red shoes, which he was given, and he ended up going back to scoring, and they won the regular season title.
You know when they always say, like, he's not wearing his shooting boots today? All
yeah, that was a literal
it's
thing.
Real. It's a real
that
thing.
That was an
it's
actual thing. So, yeah, I'm a big Alan Gordon fan.
Well,
okay.
From two people who have such history, obviously, Stu, you played in the game in MLS for a while. You've been a fan of just soccer, and especially in America, and especially Timbers back in the day. I know now you're impartial because you're calling the game. How does it feel to go? You're about to call a game in a stadium mm-hmm. with 75,000 people.
72. Don't I just add three?
They might be trying to increase it, I think. Yeah, the official, as much as the fire marshals are lighting, people will be hanging from the rafters in there. I think it's also just putting in context the year, and we talked to you guys ahead of the World Cup, and that incredible experience, and now to think that after a 2018 in which we've had Champions League, World Cups, MLS, and now be capping it off with 70 to 75,000 in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I think as two guys that are major fans of the leagues as well as the league, I've played in it, but now as a broadcaster, I love seeing its growth and seeing the Leeds succeed. To me, to be in that stadium on Saturday night, it's going to be another moment where I'm going to be looking around and not just personally, but I just think professionally and what we all want soccer to do well in this country, right? And when you see these types of events happening, it's really another reminder of, hey, this game is come so far in this country and it means a lot to so many people and we should be proud of that fact.
All right. Now, on a more personal note, I did want to ask used to in particular. Maybe you've spoken about this.
I'm scared now.
I actually thought he said used to. And I'm like, when did he grow up in the Bronx?
You have a very famous brother who recently became a viral
infamous.
Yeah. Viral sensation because he's been coined the
plane bay.
Plane bay.
This was a really weird couple days in Russia, by the way.
These guys actually lived this with me. So I woke up in Russia and I get a text from my brother saying I think I went viral. And my first thing was go to the hospital. Yeah, man. Exactly. Gotta get that checked out. And he said, seriously, check my Twitter. And I checked that and his Instagram, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, like what is happening here? And then throughout the day it was going this, and then my phone was blowing up. I was getting texts from everyone like, hey, I saw your brother on GMA and the Today Show, and
it's everywhere.
Oh my gosh, he fell in love on the internet. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then it was a 3-day period where he was dealing with this, and these guys were in Russian airports at 4 in the morning.
On one of our overnight connections through Domodedovo Airport, and it's like you, me, and our producer Shaw strategizing like we're you and the PR team.
Yeah.
How does he extricate himself from this? No, do not post that video. Yeah. Do not post this. And we're like talking as we're connecting
like a war room. Set up. Or whatever. Yeah. How do we handle
it? We were in deep in the whole thing. It was weird, man.
It was weird.
If people don't know
about. Your brother colluded with Russia while you were there? Is that what you're saying? Wow.
So if people don't know the scope of the story, it's basically your brother was on a flight and he was sitting next to a girl that he may have been flirting with. They were talking and chatting.
Doesn't sound like the Holden brothers.
But then there was a couple behind them that heard the conversation and basically live tweeted the whole thing. And this took the internet by storm.
I mean, it took the world by storm. But it was crazy to see the evolution of the story because it started as this incredible romance and this romantic story and people falling in love in airplanes. And then it quickly at one point shifted to invasion of privacy.
100%.
Oh, totally.
And filming people. And that was the point where we were having this conversation.
Like, remember, get
off the plane.
Get out.
Get off the plane. Pull the ripcord.
It all started with like, oh, this is so cute, this relationship. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait, they're being followed by this woman and her man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stop it.
Yeah, it was wild.
The lady bought Wi-Fi on the plane.
To keep it going.
To keep it going.
I mean, at that point, you have to commit crimes to pay that much for Wi-Fi. You know?
100%.
You don't make that kind of money.
No.
$24
for the first 15 minutes. But it's like the one guy who has Cricket Mobile gets it for free. Like, what?
So yeah, it was just a thing. I wonder, like, he's your older brother or younger brother?
He's younger, and I actually tweeted during the middle of that, and I put, I'm covering the biggest event of my career, and I've been upstaged by my brother falling in love on an airplane.
Well, here's one of my favorite things is if you go to Twitter and you click on the magnifying glass, it also pops up moments, right? The World Cup was below your brother's moment. And you know, it's tailored to what you like. And all I look at is food and soccer. Your brother had nothing to do with those two things. And he was
bigger. Went very quickly from, lead analyst of the World Cup to Plane Bay's brother.
Yeah, I did a satellite media tour. Yeah. Every single one was, so what about France? What about, Italy? Not Italy, they weren't there. Croatia. And then it was like, hey, so how's it feel being Plane Bay's brother? Hot trending topic. Okay, great. Let's move it along, guys.
That relationship. They're not together, right? They didn't.
No, it was a sad love story in the end. And my brother has since posted many shirtless photos on Instagram. If you want to go check that out,
he's
a handsome man. Yeah, he got deserved attention.
Also, John, we got to get brothers, sisters, siblings, cousins. Get somebody on a plane.
My sister keeps a slightly lower profile than that.
So what do you guys look for as far as prepping for the game on Saturday, is there anything that you're looking forward to, or anything in particular?
Yeah, because you can't make predictions, right? You're not allowed to.
We can, that it's not going to be right. So I don't think there's any point in doing that. I tend to always, when I come into these games, I try to focus a little bit on, because there is something about a final that's just a little bit different. And so, what finals have these players been in? You've got a handful of Portland players that won the title 3 years ago. You've got Atlanta players who have been a part of finals and competitions in South America. And then, of course, you have in Jeff Lorenowitz and Michael Parkhurst. Lorenowitz actually has won one. Parkhurst has not. Guys that have been in multiple MLS Cups. And so trying to just sort of build that story out a little bit and knit together some of the history of the players, while at the same time understanding we have a different audience. So being able to peel back a little bit, not necessarily everyone watching has followed closely Diego Valeri's career. What's his story? Not everyone has followed as closely Brad Guzan's career. What's his story? And then, as we always do, mindfulness, there's going to be 70, however many thousand people. We need to shut up and just let that be part of the story and let that be the soundtrack to the game as well. So finding that right balance, same as we did in the World Cup final, of talking to that new audience that hasn't watched MLS throughout the season, but also just staying out of the way of the scene.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. I think it was something we tried to do a lot during the World Cup. But also for me now, having seen so much of these teams over the course of the year, there's not so much you can do as far as watching tape. And it's more so setting the stage and telling the story and then just letting the story develop and get in when you can with your key points. And then other than that, like John said, just get out, let the Atlanta chance come, pay off the big moments when they come. And, you know, if it's a game-winning goal or a pass, and make sure that, you know, the fans recognize these incredible performances, and also, you know, what a great event this is, hopes to be from beginning to end.
Yeah, that's just sort of how I feel, like just the fact that the stage in itself, I think, is going to be, to me, the biggest stage that MLS has ever had to showcase its game.
Right? Yeah, and you know, 2 years ago in Toronto was pretty good. If you remember that, it was going to be 36,000. It was the fact that Toronto and the city had come alive for soccer, and it was an incredible atmosphere, and the game was an absolute dud by and large. There was one good moment in extra time in the penalty shootout. And so that's my big hope, is that the game lives up, the play lives up to the stage, so to speak.
Early goal.
The game itself really gets things going.
In the preparation for the game, I did want to, I want to give you guys a gift, both of you, because we...
this is really disconcerting, by the way.
We always...
You never know what's going to happen.
On this show, I don't know if you ever heard us say that we're the gulliest soccer podcast. So being someone who is very gully is like someone who's very tough. It's like a very New York...
It's like a street thing. It's like you don't take no prisoners. You do what you do. If you have something on your mind, you say it.
So I respect that about New York.
It exudes like toughness, right? So I got you guys shirts.
Oh, look at that.
And which one is this?
That's the gulliest.
It says the gulliest, and it has a Cooligans logo on it. And it has
the fruit bowl that we bought for Dax McCarty on the bottom that he never thanked us for for his wedding.
For his wedding. We got him a fruit bowl. We've never met Dax, and we heard he got married after he got traded. And
we found his registry online, so we sent him.
We sent him a fruit bowl. That's good.
It was one of 16, but we couldn't afford all of them.
Is this the schmedium? Is this the extra small? Yeah.
So my hope, and this,
thank you guys.
I don't know if this is like bribery, but...
Could be.
What, you know, you guys make jokes and you kind of include stuff in your broadcast. I don't know. Could the word gully
try to work in gulliest
into a broadcast?
If one player mushes another dude in the face.
I mean, if Kevin Lasagna is a, you know.
We did the lasagna puns. I've got a good friend of ours that's been trying to get me to say shenanigans on air for like 3 weeks now. She's been texting me like, shenanigans, got to get it in. So I will say running the risk that no one knows what this word means.
Right.
I will be willing to accept the challenge to at least try to find some sort of a way without getting fired. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Fireable offense.
But I love having done when
I'm going to have to make sure I Urban Dictionary also, and everything.
Gully is also the name of the mascot.
Actually, as we've learned time and time again, do not go to
Urban Dictionary at all.
However much you think you should.
Gully is also the name of the mascot for Brighton and Hove Albion. So
it's
like a goal. Sure. Right? That's,
It's a word in the lexicon that people are comfortable with.
We used to do this when I hosted a weekly Timber show. Whenever we'd have players on, they would have a word the team had bet them. They had to find a way to get in. Stephen Keel once got all seven dwarfs into a radio interview.
Wow, that's
throughout
very
the course
impressive.
Of the thing
I couldn't
to
even
win
name
like
the
20
seven dwarfs.
So
I think at this point
that this sort of a concept is not foreign to me in that regard. Yeah,
it might be fun, and it would make our fans.
Do you want gully or do you want Dax McCarty's fruit bowl?
If you could do
that, would be.
lose my mind.
I would collapse.
I might save that for a Thursday night next year.
Preseason
game. Yeah.
Put that in the McCarty fruit bowl. Joseph Martinez, put that ball in there.
That would be amazing. But you guys are the best, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate it. Always a fun time.
We'll see you down there. I cannot wait, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not going to make it to the game, watch it on TV. You get a chance to listen to these two beautiful voices.
On mute.
Yeah. What time?
It's at 7:30 Eastern.
7:30 p.m. Kickoff, I think, is 8:08.
Kickoff is when we say it is.
Oh, yeah.
Tune in at 7:30 Eastern.
It is actually true to an extent. Yeah.
Steve Goff and Andy Doss can calm down. 7:30 Eastern. We've got a wonderful pregame. We've got Alexi. We've got Rob. We've got Moe Du. We've got all sorts of bells and whistles. Tons of player interviews. Katie with them. And her pregnant belly, it'll be good times.
Awesome.
All right.
So, guys, we normally, I don't think you've done the show when we've done the outro. I don't think this has happened. You did it last
time.
Yes,
I
but you haven't.
I have
not. So, you've not been a
first
part
time
of the
outro. Well,
this is my third appearance. I don't know.
It's my second of the year, I think.
Yes. So, whenever we end the show, well, we just like yell Cooligans, it'll all make sense.
You'll know exactly when
to follow Strong's lead.
Yeah.
So, for Stu Holden and John Strong, my name is Christian Polanco.
And my name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Yes!